Greetings, everybody. This is Rick.
And this is Ron. Welcome to another day of madness that we like to call...
Rick and Ron at Lunch.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And for the next few minutes, we will do exactly that. We'll have a little bite to eat, and we invite you to pull up a chair and join us as we talk about movies and TV and...
Anything, really.
Really anything entertainment, huh?
Yeah. Whatever melts your butter, as they say here down in the South.
How perfect for lunch. A butter comment.
I know. And you, being a northerner... With no R's.
And northerner. Whatever melts your butter.
Where did you find your R's, by the way? How did you get those back? Being from Boston.
You're insinuating that I lost my R's when I was born in Boston and got them back when I moved down south.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how many people do you know with R's from Boston?
Yeah, not many. You're absolutely right. We tend to leave our R's off. We park our car in Harvard Yard and go to North Shore Shopping Center, all of that.
Yeah.
But when I moved down south and I got into broadcasting, the very first boss that I had, and there's a little story, but I won't bore you with all the details. He gave me this Jerry Clower album. You know Jerry Clower?
I know who Jerry Clower is.
Oh, you don't know him personally.
I can't say that I've not listened to him.
he has got the thickest southern accent you could ever imagine. Thick as maple syrup and molasses put together.
That's right. Huh?
So he said, take this album home and mock him, which was Dennis's way of saying, emulate him, sound like him. Mm-hmm. So he figured that somewhere between my northern accent and
northern,
and this very thick southern accent that was going on with Jerry Clower, that I would get my R's back and sort of stop somewhere in the middle. And I think indeed that's kind of what I did, because most people who hear me think I'm from the Midwest or something.
And that's the average radio personality has a Midwestern accent.
Precisely. Now, how did you lose your accent? Why don't you have a southern accent, actually? You have a very generic sound yourself.
I don't know. I think I do, but I believe that it was back in the 70s when I was in TV. And actually, I was behind the scenes, but I emulated all the TV people trying to, you know, sound like them and not sound like my neighbor. What y'all doing? Yeah, I just didn't want to be like that. And I am like that. I mean, I'm sure I slip it up, you know. Plus, my family migrated here from New York. So even though I was born here, maybe some of that just being around my parents, who probably didn't have as much of a southern accent as others born and bred here, I guess it's a combination.
That's funny. I don't hear it at all. But maybe it's because I've known you for so long.
Yeah. That's it.
When I visit my family up in Massachusetts, it's an interesting thing because I, even without thinking, I almost revert back to my northern accent.
With no R's.
Right. The R's disappear and it all comes back just like riding a bike.
Makes sense.
But the whole thing just makes me very conscious of fake accents in the movies. I think the worst northern accent I ever heard was by, and I hate to say this because I love Robin Williams, but in Good Will Hunting, he tried to do a Boston accent and it came off so fake. And the worst fake southern accent, and we've both heard a few, I think.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
It was by Cameron Diaz, who I also like, but in this movie it was awful. The Box. She tried to do a North Carolina voice, and she was supposed to be from North Carolina, but instead of sounding from down south, she sounded like she came from the south of Mars. It was awful. But you got to give him credit for trying, huh?
Yeah.
Actually, it's kind of ironic that you would even be getting us on the subject of accents today, because we were planning on talking about classic TV sitcoms.
Mm-hmm.
And very recently, I heard the old Andy Griffith, you know, that recording of his, the what it was football.
Yeah.
And I didn't immediately realize that it was Andy Griffith. I was thinking that it sounded just like Jerry Clower. Very, very thick southern accent for both of these comedians.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's kind of coincidental, as we do want to weave our way into the subject of classic TV sitcoms. Maybe even especially The Andy Griffith Show and our friends in Mayberry. I know you wanted to.
Well, only because we kind of missed the 50th anniversary. The show was in 1960, mm-hmm. Around this time.
Came on the air October 3rd, exactly. Missed it by that much.
That much. But of all the ones, I Love Lucy, Dick Van Dyke, all those. I love Andy Griffith. Just a different time, small town feel, just something special about that show.
I think so, too. And I think when it comes to classic TV, there are really four pinnacles, you know, the greatest old sitcoms of all time. And you mentioned a couple of them. What do you think those four should be?
You know, I think I think most people would start with something like The Honeymooners. What do you think? The Honeymooners?
Absolutely. That would be on my list.
Be a great one. Of course, Andy Griffith.
Mm-hmm.
I Love Lucy. that had to be one that broke the records.
Yep.
There are so many others, but you know, one of my favorites is No, Not the Nanny. One of my favorites is actually MASH. I thought that was groundbreaking for its time. I mean, I could continue. All in the Family. I mean, it went in boundaries. It went beyond boundaries of the day. Don't you think?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played.
Songs that made the hit parade.
Okay, enough of that.
We can do this all day, folks.
Believe me, we could. You don't want us to either.
But no, I was thinking in terms of the way, way, way back, you know, the 50s sitcoms, there's one more black and white that I think belongs on that list of four. And four is kind of an odd number, but I'm still doing it.
Yeah, it is. Would it have been like... back in the 50s?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, same time period as these other ones we're talking about. Won't make you work too hard.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Leave It to Beaver. Huh?
Oh, was that a 50s show?
Oh, yeah. Late 50s.
Leave It to Beaver.
1958, maybe. That's what I'm thinking. I mean, it was still on the air probably in the 60s, but certainly in the reruns in the afternoons.
Yeah.
But no, I put Leave It to Beaver up there because of the classic characters. Every show was great for me, which I can't say about the other three. There were definitely episodes on the others that just didn't do it for me at all. But Leave It to Beaver, I can't think of a bad episode.
Yeah, Leave It to Beaver had a really nice cast. And it was another one of those perfect family models that you don't see in real life.
Yes. And, you know, let's not forget to pay respects to Barbara Billingsley.
That's right.
Who just joined Hugh Beaumont in that great Mayfield in the Sky.
In fact, wasn't Hugh Beaumont from Memphis?
Humes High School. I've heard that too. I'm glad you brought that up.
So there you go.
Yes.
So here we are.
Mm-hmm. There's that Memphis connection, and that's why we're here, folks.
That's it.
To honor our countrymen.
Yes, Hugh Beaumont. And of course, where would the world be without Eddie Haskell?
Oh my goodness, one of the greatest characters in the history of television.
Yeah.
It's played by?
Ken Osmond?
Very good, yes.
Thank you. I don't know why that hit me, but yes, Ken Osmond.
Yeah, he's the forgotten Osmond brother.
Yeah. There was Donnie and Ken. They left him out. I guess he chose to go another direction.
Yeah, I think so. Unless he put on a wig and became Marie. I'm not sure.
Well, no.
No, he became a policeman, didn't he?
Marie became Mormon, I think. So
hey, there you go. I think they all started out that way, actually.
I think so. I really do. But no, I was going to say, and of course, Tony Dow. Which
mm-hmm, of Dow Chemical?
His real thank you. His real name being Wallace. You know, every time his dad was mad at him, that was it. Wallace.
Yes.
Or his mom, probably. Yes. And what was Beaver's real name?
Theodore.
Theodore Cleaver.
Yes. Did he have a middle name?
Just from what I gather, Theodore Beaver Cleaver. I mean, what a name. Beaver Cleaver.
Beaver Cleaver. Somebody had a sense of humor, huh?
Yeah, it's perfect. But another, yeah, you're right. That was a great show.
Speaking of middle names, I've got a great TV trivia question for you.
Uh-oh.
Getting back to the Andy Griffith Show, at least briefly, what was Barney's middle name?
Wow. Gosh, that's a great question. I have to think on that. Does he have a middle? He had a middle name, right?
Well, you know what? I'll actually give you a clue. Any of
Before you say anything, uh-huh. I know it was Bernard P. Fife.
Good. Very
now,
good.
What was the P for? Yeah. I should know this.
P is one of the four answers that we can accept as correct.
Really?
Four answers. Yes, sir. Because in the course of the show, which is, you know, 8+ years, I guess, it changed. I don't know if the writers just weren't staying on top of it or if it was a private joke, but besides the P initial, which they never clarified, we never heard what the P stands for, there were three other middle names that Barney or Andy made reference to.
Go ahead. Let me hear this.
Milton. Tibbs. Mm-hmm. And one more episode in which Barney made mention of his middle name and Andy said, I thought your middle name was Oliver.
Right. No.
Does that sound familiar at all?
Nope. But
me neither.
No, the only thing I know is the P. The rest of them are new to me.
So Bernard P. Fife, I wonder if there was more reference to that than any of these others, and maybe that's the best of the answers.
I would have to say so. That's the one thing I remember.
Do you know what Andy's middle name was? Andy Taylor.
Andrew.
Named after a president.
Johnson? Jackson? Jefferson?
There you go. That's it. Jackson. Andrew Jackson Taylor. And yet, there was another episode in which he had a different middle name. His middle name was Samuel. Here we go.
There's my phone. Hang on one second.
Now go get it. Well, I'll tell you what, it wouldn't be Rick and Ron at Lunch without some phone interruptions. So let's do this. While Ron is taking care of business, why don't we do a little show business? I've got a 60-second movie recommendation for you. It's one of Rick's picks. All right, the movie is The Social Network, a great new film about how Facebook came into existence. And what I found fascinating about this movie was the whole discussion of intellectual property. Who deserves to claim the lion's share of profits when an idea is successful? Is it the person who came up with the idea? Is it the person who improved upon the idea? Or the person who actually worked out the details and made it happen? Jesse Eisenberg is the star of this one. He was in Adventureland and Zombieland, The Village. And a fellow Memphian of ours, Justin Timberlake, plays his mentor. And in some respects, tormentor, because of the trouble he tends to get our hero into. The story takes some liberties with the actual truth for the sake of drama, but it really feels legitimate. It's got some heavyweight support from a great soundtrack by Trent Reznor of Nine Inch Nails. And the executive producer is Kevin Spacey, who, unlike Drew Barrymore, doesn't give himself a leading role. And that's The Social Network, today's Rick's Pick. Ron, are you back with us?
Yes.
Just in time to say goodbye. Folks, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Next Rick and Ron at Lunch, we're going to delve a little deeper into The Andy Griffith Show, because we've barely scratched the surface of Mayberry.
Yes.
So please join us for that. I'm Rick.
And this is Ron.
See you soon.
Take care.